Okay, there's two things I want to look at, and I want to make sure I get to breaks. So we're going to look at that first. And under breaks and validation, zipped, hopefully you will find it. So when I went into breaks and validation, I went to vb.net/cis56, and then it has breaks, and then it has a routine for PR minor and a group for PR MIM. So the first one I'm going to look at is the one called minor. So it's under breaks and validation, and it's the one called minor. Has everybody found it? Has anybody not found it? Maybe that's the better question. Is it there? Anybody have you found it?
PR
minor, yeah. And then we'll look at the MIM. We're looking for PR minor right now. It's under that zip breaks thing. Are you found it? Did you find it? It's in that group of zip things.
Scissors.
Okay. My goal is to get things corrected within about a week. Sometimes I'm done, sometimes I'm worse. So, if you haven't heard from me in a couple of weeks, then probably I didn't get it. So it's worth resending and saying, did you get this? Okay, so we're looking at PR minor. And before we do anything else, I want to go back to where I found it. And I want to look at the fact that there is a text file associated with it. So if I click on PR minor, and I click on bin, okay, so if you go back to where it was, and instead of opening it, I click on bin, then you should see something called minor text. And that's the file that I'm using. Okay, so I created a text file. And if you look at this text file, it has all of that in it. Okay, so this is minor.txt. And I'm going to copy this and put it in Notepad, because I don't want to have it confused if I've got it open and moving and all that sort of stuff. So I'm just going to put it in Notepad so that I don't worry about it. Okay. So there is my text file, and it's located in bin. Okay, so if I open PR minor under bin, I've got minor.txt, and minor.txt has got in it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 records. Okay. So, if I go back and open the program, you can see that on load, I said file open, device 1, which means whatever, the first device that I'm using. If I have two files that I'm reading, I open 1 in 1 and 1 in 2. Okay, they have no more meaning than that. And then I say minor text, because that's the name of it, the way I stored it. And then I said I want to open it for input. Okay, I'm not writing to this file, I'm opening it for input. I can open it for input, I can open it for output, and I can open it for input-output if I want to do both reading and writing. But I'm only opening it for input. Okay? So, that's the file, and that's what I'm going to read. This is an older way of reading files. They have managed to make it far more complex now, and we will look at that. But this particular program I wrote a while ago, and I like the idea of keep it simple, and so this is a simple way to open a quick and dirty text file that you want to use. Okay, so I've got my text file here. We're looking at, under breaks, zip breaks, and I'm looking at the one called minor. Okay, so, the inherits line up there is a line that comes because I changed. This is an older version that I've upped to a newer version, and so it just puts that line in. Okay, so, in my file open, I'm sorry, in my form load, I opened the file, and I set a hold area that I defined up above, but here I made it basically empty. I set it to quote, quote, which means there's nothing in it. So I made sure that work hold department was initialized as quote, quote. So what I want to do is I want to read this file. And in order for break processing to be working,
I have to have it in order by the thing that I am breaking on.
So what I've got here, if you look at it, is I've got a department number and an amount. Those are the two fields that I have in here.
And I just went in and created this file. So this is the department number, and this is an amount. Okay.
So, since I want to group by departments and get a total for a department, I need to order it by department. Okay? If I don't order it by department, I've got a lot more complex processing that I have to do because I would have to set up an accumulator for each department, and let's say I have 1,000 departments. And then I would have to do an if statement and say if it's equal to 12, add to this accumulator. If it's equal to 15, add to this accumulator. But when I put them in order, then I can just process until it changes. Now, work whole department is where I'm going to hold the department number that I'm currently processing. And when that department number changes, then I've stopped that processing. Okay, so I'm starting out, and I dimmed work department number as string and work amount as string because I'm only using those in this particular routine. So I started out and I said, if not in the file 1. Okay, so if it's not in the file, then the way I get data is I said input from drive 1, the first field, which is work department number. I'm writing work department number. And input from drive 1, the next field, and put it in work amount. This is not a lovely methodology. We'll get into using database tables later, and that's a far easier processing to do. But right now, if there were 10 fields out there, I'd have to have 10 little input to take in the 10 fields individually. Okay. Then I said, okay, work whole department has nothing in it. It's got empty. So I start out and I say, if work whole department is not equal to work department number. Okay. So, what that is checking for is a break, because work whole department is going to, I'm going to put in it the department I'm currently processing. So to start out with, if work whole department is not equal to work department number, I know it's one of two things. It's either the first record, or it's a break. In other words, it's changed. The department number has changed. So I know it's one of those two things. Now, the next line determines which it is. I said if work department is not equal to spaces, then I know it's a break. But let's go ahead and just process the first record. So we have read this first record. Okay, we've read that first record. Work whole department, which is spaces, is not equal to work department number, which when I moved it in is now 12. Okay, because I read the 12 and put it in work department number, and I read work amount, which is 500, and put it in work amount. So work whole, which is empty, is not equal to work department number. And then I'm asking, okay, is the hold empty? And if it is, that tells me it's the first record. If it is, okay, it isn't here. It's not equal to, so it's a break. I should have written. That makes more sense to write the word break there. And the else is the first record.
Okay, so I'm saying, first of all, is the hold area equal to the number I just read? Or is it not equal? If it's not equal, then I ask, is the work hold apartment not equal to spaces? If it is, that means I found a break. But we are not doing that right now. We're going on and we're taking the else because it was equal to spaces. And so we are taking and putting work department number into work hold. So we're now putting in here the 12. Okay? So now we come out of here and we add to the list. So we're adding stuff to the list. So I'm writing out in a box that I have on the form, I'm saying list minor dot items add, and I'm adding in some. I'm sorry, I'm at the wrong place. It is list minor items add, but now I'm adding a work department number concatenated with spaces, concatenated with currency. So what this line is generating is work department number, which is 12, concatenated with some pay spaces, concatenated with 500. Okay? So it's writing that line up. Then I've got two totals. So I've got a minor total and a final total. So I'm adding the 500 to both of them. Okay, so I'm adding the 500 to both of them because I want to get totals for each department and I want to get a final total. So I have to add that 500 to each of them. Okay? And that finishes the processing for that record. Now what I have to do then is when I want to process the next record, I click on process again. Okay? And when I click on process the second time, it now reads that record. Okay, so it reads that record. And work department number is a 12 and work amount is now 100. So I go down and I say, is work department equal to work hold department, or is it not equal? And yes, they're equal. So I know there hasn't been a break. I'm still in department 12. So at that point, I just go down and hit this add. I'm just out of here, and I hit this add. So I add the line here that says 12, 100. I add the 100 to the minor total, which gets me to 600, and gets me to 600. Okay, so I've now got 600 in each of them. And that's the end. Okay. The else only happens if I hit enter file. So now I go back, and if I click the button again, I will read the next record. So I read 12, which goes into work department number, and 50 that goes into work amount. Is work department number and work hold different? No. So I take the else, or I take the end if, sorry, the dropout, and I write out the third line, which is 12 and 50. And I add 50 to each of these. And then I read the next record. Now when I read the next record, which is 15, work department number is now 15, work amount is now 200. So, is work hold not equal to work department? Yes, they're not equal, right? Because I've just read a 15 and I'm comparing it to a 12. So what do? I come down here and say, is work hold not empty? No. So it's not empty. So I come down here and I write out department total and I write the 650. that I've been accumulating in my minor total. And then I changed the work hold to 15, and I set the minor total to 0. Notice I don't touch the final total, because the final total is going to tell me what I want to do at the end. So I did those things, and I hit this NDIF, and I hit this NDIF, and now I write out the line that caused the break. Okay, so this 15 followed by 100, this is the line that caused the break. Okay, so I am writing out the line that caused the break. So notice I don't go back. After I write out the totals, I drop down and process the line that caused the break, just like any other line. If I didn't do that, I would miss a line. And then I go back, and every time I click, I process. Finally, when I go click, it says it's end of file. And so when it says it's end of file, it puts up a message for me saying end of file. It writes out the last department total, because suddenly I do a read. I've been processing a department. Suddenly I do a read and there's nothing there. So I haven't written out the total for the last department. So I write out the total for the last department, and I write out the final total. Does that make sense? And there are innumerable times when you do break processing in the business world, because you need department totals, you need customer totals, you need totals for this, that, and 10 dozen other things. So you're always doing break processing. It's a very standard kind of thing that you have to do. Okay? So, now let's run this. Maybe I should have run it first, but since I didn't, you'll have to accept it now. Or maybe you were smart and ran it first. Okay, so now I'm going to run this, and notice again that I have to click on process to process a record. So there I've processed. 12,500 was indeed the first one I had. 12,100 was next. 1250 was next. Okay. Then when I hit process, I get that department total 650, which I got, and the record that caused the break, which is 15,200. I keep processing. End of file, and I get those two things. I might have switched those and put out the numbers first and then put out the message box. And when I finish with this, I do the file close of that file that I opened, because I'm now done with the file. Questions? Okay, now obviously, one of the things I would like to do is have a loop where this report got generated as opposed to me clicking a gazillion times. The next one we're going to look at is minor, intermediate, and major, and we're going to look at that next. And one of your homework assignments is to fix that so that when I click once, I get the whole report, as opposed to having to click my way happily through it. Okay, I want to click once and get everything. And so I'm going to ask you to fix that program so that one click and I get everything. Okay, questions. Okay, then the next one we're going to look at is minor, intermediate, major. Okay.
And again, if we go into this program, wait a minute, it's on the F drive. It's in VB.net. There it is. And if I go to the bin, there's the file. Okay.
So this is the minor. This is the intermediate. And this is the major. You might call them, this is department. This is the branch. This is the division. So Division 3 is the East Coast Division. Division 4 is the West Coast Division.
Within each division, I have a bunch of branches. I have the Boston branch and the New York branch. And within each branch, I have departments. Okay? And then the last column is the amount.
So that's what you can think of these as, if it helps to think of them as something concrete.
And then, as I said, the last column is the amount. Okay, so that's my next one. So, if I look at this, what happens, and let's watch it run. Come on, you can do it. Maybe if I move that up, I can move that up. Okay. So I'm going to hit process. And process gets me that first line. 03,
24, 27, 500. Okay, now there are the first three records
are all department 27. So they're going to just continue on as department 27. Now I hit department 28. Branch is still the same, division is still the same, but I've got a department break. So I'm writing out a department total. Then I continue processing 28. And now I've got both a department total and a branch total.
Because notice that the branch changed and the department changed. Okay. So the way I do it is I write out the department total, then I write out the branch total, which is the combination of the two departments,
and then I write out the record that caused the break. Okay? And now I am in department 25, and I've got a bunch of different... branch 25, department 15. Here's branch 25, department 17. Branch 25, department 20. And at that point, the division changed.
So I went from division 3 to division 4. And at that point, I wrote out the department total, the branch total, and the division total. Okay?
And then I keep processing on the 04s, and eventually I get to the end, and notice it very nicely provides a scroll bar for me. I've now hit end of file, and at the bottom I get the department total, the branch total, the division total, and the final.
And you can see that if you look at the end of file. I write out the department total, the branch total, the division total, and the final total, and then close. Okay.
So that's my processing. Now, the level of checking is you check for the biggest break first. So up at the top, I'm checking to see if there's spaces and all that. But once I get down here, I check and see if there's a division break. And if there's a division break, then I write out the department, and then I write out the branch, and then I write out the division, because that's the order that I want them to appear on the report.
Is I want the smallest one, then the middle one, then the great bigger one. If it's not a division break, okay, and there is the next thing, here's the division break. If it's not a division break, I ask, is it a branch break? And if it is, I write out department, and I write out branch. And then if it's not a branch break, I check and see if it was a department break. And if it was a department break, I write out department. And then I close all this up. Notice the group of NDIFs there? I'm closing this all up. There's the second NDIF. There's the third NDIF. And now at the bottom, I process the record. Okay. So I then process out the record. Okay. So I check for all the breaks. If there's no breaks, I just drop through and process the record. If there was a break, like a department break, I end and then I drop through and process the record. If there was a branch, I do what I'm supposed to do, and then I drop through and process. So every time, I'm going to hit the part where I process the record. If there was any kind of break, I'm going to hit it. If there was no break, I'm going to hit it. I'm always going to hit that part where I process the record. Questions? Okay, now notice what I do in each of the processing of when there's a break. If there was a division break, I write out all three lines. I reset all three hold areas because now I've got a whole department, a whole branch, and a whole division. So I reset all three, and I zero out all the totals except the final total. So I zero out all the totals. If it was a branch break, then I write the department and branch, reset the hold areas for department and branch, and zero out the department and branch totals. But I keep the division total because I'm still in that division. If it was a department break, I just write out the department total, reset the hold area for the department, and set the minor total to zero. Okay. Does that logic make sense? I've got a lot of serious looks and nobody looking satisfied. So if you have questions, now's your chance. I'm happy with it. And there's three things you have to do. If there was a break,
You have to write it out, write out the line, reset the hold area, and zero the accumulator.
So on the department, those are the three things you do. On the branch, it's now up to six, because I got to do it for both department and branch. On the division, it's up to nine, because I got to do it for department, branch, and division. Each one of these involves write a line, reset the hold, zero the total. Now, when I did them, I put the write the line, reset, zero as 333, but I could have done everything to the department, then everything to the branch, then everything to the division. So I could have changed the order of these and written, write out the department, reset the department, zero the department. Write out the branch, reset the branch, zero the branch. Write out the division, reset the division, zero the division. It doesn't matter the order that I put those up there, with the exception of I shouldn't zero out the total before I write it. Okay, so the first three lines, write it, and I shouldn't zero out before I write it, or I'll get an interest in zero output. You're all looking at it, that's good.
I'm trying to figure out how the program knows when to end.
Well, it can't read anything more on the file. It's got an end of file indicator that you can't see. So, and when a file is created, the operating systems or whatever, when I stop doing it, when I say close, when I say if it was open for output and I was writing, when I say close, it puts in an end of file marker.
That file close, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
So it knows to close it out.
Well, on this one, it's an input file, so it's not writing a marker, it's just closing it.
Yeah.
But if I'm creating a file, then when I tell it to close, it puts in an end of file marker that tells anybody reading that file that it has finished, successfully finished reading the file. Okay. But that's its problem. We don't have to worry about that. It puts in the marker. And I think actually just skipping down to the next line, as I recall, I made those by just going to Notepad. And then I just skipped to the next line. And it understood that as I didn't put anything there, that was in the file.
Now on that Notepad file, was it written in Visual Basic or was it written?
I believe I just sat down and wrote it in Notepad. Now, could I have written it in Visual Basic? Sure.
I noticed you had it in quotations.
Right.
Can read it?
Just like the form preferred considers all data that you type in on the form text, it works better if you make all data on the file text and then convert it to a number if you want to add it to something or something. Or you don't even have to do that. Notice I didn't do any conversion, I don't think. Well, work minimum total I probably defined as a numeric, and so I probably did the conversion then. I can't go and look, you can go and look, but I can't go and look without losing the flowchart. And I don't want to lose that yet. It's pretty bright at figuring out what's numeric and what's not when I'm doing a calculation.
In the code first, mind.items.add.
Where am I now?
Down the bottom. Last else. Before,
okay, so where, say what you said again.
Yeah, the whole string of code, the first MIN
dot. That's where I'm writing out the individual records.
And I want to write them all. So I said, write the division, concatenate it with some spaces, concatenate it with the branch, concatenate it with some spaces, concatenate it with the department number, concatenate it with spaces, concatenate it with the amount, but make that currency. So if I actually run it, and then once I've written it all out, I say, okay, now I want to add that work amount to all of my accumulators. Okay? Sometimes people don't do that. They add it to the minor, and then they add the minor to the to the branch, the department to the branch. I think it's a lot easier to just add all of them. You can get away with doing it different ways. I just think it's easier to just say, I'm adding to all of them. You know, I've now written out the line, I'm adding it to all the accumulators. But as I said, some people do the kind of thing they only add to the department, and then when the department breaks, they take the department and add it to the intermediate or the branch. But when the branch breaks, they take it and add it to the major. And I just don't think that's as clear as I'm going to add it to everything. So that's the way I do it. But pick up any break program and you'll find some people will do it both ways. Seriously, does it make sense now? Anybody got any more questions? Opportunity is going. And hopefully you will look at it. It's only adding a few lines of code to make this automatic. So I want you to figure out how to make it such that one click of process will generate the whole thing.
Is the VBOK only just a Visual Basic? Just something for Visual Basic, because I
Yes. But a lot, anybody that has a message box, some of the languages that have message box will give you something like that where you can choose the buttons.
Okay.
VBOK only means that only the OK button is going to show up when you put up the message box.
Okay. And I think the default is OK and cancel. So if you don't put anything in there, I believe you get okay and cancel.
Yeah, I was just wondering because I didn't see it as a...
Well, if we run this...
Like, I didn't see it as a variable, so I was like, well, it must be a Microsoft word.
Yeah, it is. And so if I run this, okay, again, and unfortunately I've got to click this a gazillion times to make it go through, and that's what you're going to stop... And there's my OK, so I only have an OK only on that. Okay? And that says...
You can figure out, and I never remember whether this goes or that goes. But you can see the message box, the first thing goes inside. And the last thing over there goes on the title.
And I never remember that, but I actually don't much care. Which one they want to put which place... It's fine with me. So, as I said, I think if I leave that out, no, it's apparently OK is the default because that's all I got. I thought OK and cancel was the default, but I just took that out and I got only the OK. And if you look at these, there's a whole bunch of VB stuff that you can stick in there. Okay. What did I just do? VP, I'm trying to remember. C, A, no, it's obviously not cancel. Anyway, there's a whole bunch of them, and you can go look them up and figure out what you want to put in there. Okay. Huh? Yeah, no, you've got a lot of power in the message box, actually, as to what message you want to put in and what you're going to allow the user to do. Okay, that takes care of that. The next one is in that same group. If you go back to check, I think that's the one I want. Yep, that's the one I wanted. Okay, so what I've got here, and why has that all of a sudden popped up, that lovely little thing? Anyway, that is not VB, that's SmartBoard. So Ann Costa is in department, or actually, let me start out. I'm going to get out of here and come back. If you look here, what I'm doing is validating. And I put in here a text name validating. Okay, so the way I get that, first of all, is over here on the left, I have a whole... I want to close this. I have a whole series of things that I can put in there. Okay? All of the fields that I used. That's my list of fields that I used. And so I chose text name, only I didn't just choose text name. But I chose text name. And then over here is a bunch of things that you can do. Okay, a bunch of options, and I chose validating. So on the left, I chose text name, and on the right, I chose validating, and it made this subroutine called text name underscore validating. Okay? Up until now, most everything we've done is a click event or a load event. But these are other kinds of events that you can do as well. So on the name, I said, if the text name.txt is empty, quote, quote means it's null or empty, then I am going to put out a message box saying, please enter a name, and I am going to put the focus back on text name. So if I run this and I tab past that, it comes up and says, please enter a name. Okay, so I say okay, it puts the focus there, and I enter Ann Costa. Okay, so now I'm going to enter A and tab off that, and it says department should be 3 characters. Okay. And how did it know that? Because I told it that. I said, if it's less than 3 or greater than 3, then put up department should be 3 characters. And what I was doing is I decided I wanted to phrase these so I wasn't using the else to do the stuff. I wanted to phrase them so I was using the if statement itself to catch the problem. Could I have used the else? Sure, I just didn't want to. So I will make that the CIS department. And then down here, I want either an S or an H. So if I put in an X and I tab off it, it says enter an S or an H. Okay? And you can see that code is right there. So I'm saying that I want it to be an S or an H. So I click on OK. And if I go back here, I'm now putting in an S. And then I can tab off and hit process. And it checks. When I hit process, if I have an S, then it enables the stuff on this side. Otherwise, it enables the stuff on that side. So if they are salaried, I open up the boxes about salary. And if they're hourly, I open up the boxes about hourly. Okay? So now I go down and I look at salary. Okay, and I want salary between $25,000 and $200,000. So if I put in a salary of $12,000, wait a minute, where am I? $12,000, and I say calculate pay, it tells me that I should have a number between $25,000 and $200,000. So, notice what it did when I clicked the message off. Notice that it has highlighted the whole thing and set the focus there. And I do that by saying selection start 0 and selection length, and it then will highlight the whole field. So I said start it at 0 and go through the length. And selection start, selection length, ends up highlighting the whole thing. And the with text hours simply means I don't have to write text hours before the dot select. Okay. So I'm going to now put in 52,000. Which is my favorite number because it calculates so nicely. Okay? So I put in 52,000 and it did the calculation. And I've now got... Okay, I've got this. And where did that calculation happen? Everybody see the place where I did it? Salary calc down here. Okay, so I divided it by 52 and put it in that box. Okay. And if I clear, it clears everything out. Then I can put in John Doe, ACC, he's hourly. And I say process, and I light up the hourly side, and I don't have the salary side lit up. In the hourly side, I'm checking for the right number of hours. I'm checking for the right pay per hour. And as long as they enter the right thing, I can do the calculation. But if I tried to say I was working 2 hours at $2 an hour, it wants between 30 and 60, so I'll go with 40. And pay per hour, if I put in 2, it says has to be between 10 and 50, so we'll make it 50, and that gives me $2,000. Okay. So basically, this is a way to check user input. And very frankly, it should happen on every single program you write. But for this class, I'm not going to. I'm going to have to say that I want you to do it once. Try it twice. But then you don't have to do it on every program you write. Because, you know, I want you focusing on other things and not doing the same thing over and over and over again. But if you're out in the world, the downside of a form is it's available to the user input, and your assumption should be that the user is completely and totally clueless. And so you gotta validate everything that they put in. You can't trust that the user is gonna enter the stuff right. You know, because this is the data that you're gathering, probably. I mean, we're not gathering data yet, but we will be shortly. But this is the data you're gathering and putting out on your database or out on your files. And if you let them into garbage, then you've got a real serious problem. Okay? One of the most tedious jobs in programming is validating. It's a pain in the neck. And so count on it. If you get hired as a programmer, you'll end up validating at the beginning because nobody else wants to do it. And then eventually, when somebody else comes in below you, they can start doing validating. Because it's, you know, it's just, it's tedious and it's routine. Okay? But it's necessary. My first job, I did a lot of validating. Questions? I think that just about covers everything. I could have done more enabling and disabling. I think there was a couple of places when I was playing with it. I said, oh, I should have done that. But I've got the idea across that you can enable and disable things. How am I doing? We got a little bit longer. So what I want to do is now go back to the one that has break combo or something that we looked at on Tuesday, and I want to open a project. It's going to be under loops combo, etc., which you opened last time, and I've got three things there that deal with faculty. And those are the three that I want to look at. Basically, I've got three ways of taking in data. And that's what these redress is, three ways of taking in data. So we're going to start with faculty course setup. Okay, this is called a combo box. This is called a list box. And I got them both from over on the side, combo box and list box. So what I did is I have onload. I put spring, summer, fall up in the top, and I put these courses in as the courses that you can choose. So I set up the boxes on load. So if I run this, come on, it has in the combo box, I can choose one. So let's say I choose summer.
if I click on summer, it puts summer up into the top of the box. And that's a kind of combo box. And when we get out to properties, take a look and see the kind it is. But that's a property box. So I did the load of the available choices over here. And there are the available choices. And then when I clicked on summer, it went up to the top to indicate that was the one I've chosen. Okay.
In the drop-down list box, I've got all my choices, so I'm picking Visual Basic. And when I say add a course, it adds that course in. Okay. So if I want to choose another course that I'm going to take over the summer, I can go and say I'm going to take Oracle. That's not the one I said, Oracle. And then I add that and it goes in next. And then I can go and add another one and add as many as I want. So when I selected, let's look at this one.
When I did a select, see this says CBO for combo box, semester, selected index changed.
And notice what I've got up in the top, on the left and the right,
I've got CBO semester, selected index changed. That matches with that. So I can pick what I want to pin up there, or I can just sit down and type it.
So selected index change means it is going to add courses for the semester to this box. So I said in the list courses, add courses for the summer, which I chose. And I said, go get what's in cbosemester.txt, semester. And then I said, add a blank line. So I added a blank line because I wanted a blank line in there. So I added basically nothing, which added a blank line. And then I said, set the button add courses, make that enabled and add it to edit. So, since that's now enabled, I can go in and I can add a course by clicking that button, and it adds the course to the CBO course, to the list courses, dot items add. So if I want to add another one, I come over here and I choose it. So I'll add Internet Developer. And I highlight Internet Developer and then I click Add Courses and it adds it. So it takes whatever is in there that I've highlighted and adds it. The clear is kind of a strange kind of clear, but that actually clears out combo boxes if you select the index to negative one. And then on one of these others, I showed you another way of doing it. But if you select the selected index to negative one, that clears things out. So if I hit clear, it's all gone away, except for the stuff that I put in at the load. That's all still there. The stuff I put in at the load is still there, but everything else, all the choices I made, have gone away. So this is one way to get data into the combo boxes, is to just put it in the load. When the program opens, load the stuff into the combo boxes. Make that the first thing you do. The second way that you can get the stuff in there is the second one, which is the same program, but I've just changed how you do it. So I said close, and then I said, hopefully, file, open project, and we'll pick user entry. Now on this one, I am making the user enter it in. Okay? And when I come to this, I always tell the story of at one point, my... My husband had a client at one point that wanted to change the price of jewelry, of gold. He manufactured jewelry. He wanted to change the price of gold. And so it was hard-coded for some reason, whatever program he had was hard-coded the price of gold. And gold was at a point where it was fluctuating all over the place. So they were constantly calling my husband to come in and change the price of gold in the program. My husband tried showing him how to do it. And then he suggested that maybe they'd have it set up with an input box so that they could enter the price of gold. And finally he convinced them that that would work. And so they could enter the price of gold. Okay? So, this user entry is when something is very flexible, when it's constantly changing. And every time the user runs the program, they may want a different thing there, like the price of gold. That every time they run invoices, they may want the price of gold, the newest price. Okay, so I said enter the semester, enter done when finished. So I'm going to enter spring, and then click OK, and then summer, and click OK, and then fall, and click OK, and then done, and click OK. And now it says enter the courses. So you can see what I have here is a little tiny loop where I said enter until user entry equals done. When user entry equals done, I'm all set. And whatever they enter, I am putting into the combo box. And then I drop down to the next loop, which will also end when I say done, but I said enter a course. And I'm just going to enter a number and not the whole thing. And then I will enter done, and I am done. So now I've entered all of this stuff, but I did it with user entry as opposed to the load. Would you want to do this if it was the same data they were entering all the time? No. But if the data is constantly changing, and the user wants to have current data when they run this program, this is a perfect way to do it. Because it lets the user change the data without getting a technician involved. Okay, and the last one, and this is, as I said, the same program as the other one, so I'm not looking at the program particularly. File, close solution, file, open project, and we're looking at faculty courses. And on this one, basically, I did it, if you look at the form, and you look at this, and you look at this, I did it in items. Items, collection, click on the three dots, there's what I put in there. So that means that it's put in before the program even runs. It's ready, you know, I've got the instruction. When you set up the form, set it up like that.
Yeah. Is there a preferred way to do that? Coding it or putting it in like that?
I don't know. I mean, it's good documentation of it inside, which is one reason why I like that. But I actually don't know whether who. I think it's a very personal preference. But here, I went over here to the items collection, and I brought up items collection, and I just typed all the stuff in. And I did the same thing up here. I went to items collection for that field also, and I typed all the things in. So I'm all set. And I'm glad I wrote, we will hopefully start in class since we only have 4 minutes to go. I kind of didn't think I was going to make it. Okay, so basically I want you to fix the minor program, and this is one of those validating things. The one thing I wanted to point out here is extra credit for anybody who solves my problem. I don't want to bring that up, it's zipped. If you open that, I guess validate debug maybe, yeah. I want you to do the validating, and I ran into a problem. And this one is me after I threw in a lot of things. This is not, I don't think, the one I gave you. I think the one I gave you is got less stuff in it. But I wrote what the problem was here. And I wrote what the solution was. I wanted to do a calculation, and I have a thing that says the price is too low. And depending on where I put the calculation and how I did the calculation, I got some very strange answers. And I kind of wrote up a little summary of it for you there. But, and I don't remember which one I've got showing here currently. So let's say I put in the cost of 100 and the price of 110, because I said I wanted cost times 110, etc. And then I click enter. Okay, tab. That's what I click at, tab. Because I don't have anything displaying yet. I was just doing validating. And I got price too low. Well, I want the price to be, if it's less than work cost times 1.1, work cost times 1.9 is 110, right? So I shouldn't have got price too low. But I did. If I went outside, and put it outside like I did over here, as opposed to inside the if. If I put it out there, it worked. So I just thought I would throw that out there, that I was not happy. And if anybody can figure it out, I'll give you oodles of extra credit. For some bizarre reason, I think I did figure it out at one time and then forgot to document it. So if I take this and take the comment off of it so that it's there, leave those commented, leave this. I think what I need to do is this. So now I put it inside. No. No, I don't. I took one thing out. I did the calculation outside, so I want to... And I'll try the 100 and 110 again. Tab off that and it worked fine.
So when I put the calculation outside, it worked fine. When I did the calculation inside and I tried a variety of ways, I got the too low.
That's one of those things that makes you want to scream. So, I played around with this a lot. And I just thought I would pass on the problem that I ran into. If you run into similar problems, know that I'm going to have a lot of sympathy because I can't figure out what I did wrong. Okay. I will print out this page that has kind of my 1, 2, 3, 4, 8, 9. That kind of has my playing around with it. And you can have a copy of it. Okay, that would mean you'd start printing.
Here's page 2. If you want a copy, pick it up on your way out.